The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 18, text number 6, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 13th, 2010, in Klang, Malaysia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etani api tu karmanti karmani sangam takshva phalani cha kartavyani iti me partha nishchitam matam uttamam etanyapi tu karmani sangam chakra phalani cha kartavyaniti me partha nishchitam matam uttamam etanyapi tu karmani sangam chakra phalani cha kartavyaniti me partha nishchitam matam uttamam etani,
all these.
Api,
certainly.
But.
Karmani,
activities.
Sangam,
association.
Saktva,
renouncing.
Phalani,
results. Cha,
also.
Kartavyani,
should be done as duty.
Iti,
thus.
May my partha,
O son of Pritha,
nishchitam,
definite.
Matam,
opinion.
Uttamam,
the best.
Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
All these activities
should be performed without attachment
or any expectation of result.
They should be performed as a matter of duty. O son of Pritha,
that is my opinion.
Although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also it is said that any activity which leads to devotional service and to the Lord should be accepted. That is the highest perfection of religion. A devotee of the Lord should accept any kind of work, sacrifice, or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghuna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So the question can be asked, why? Why should we do everything which will help us in devotional service and avoid things which do not help us in devotional service? In other words, why should we even do devotional service? Because that's the religion I belong to? Is that why? What is the purpose of engaging in devotional service? Because my parents told me to do it. Because my guru told me to do it. What is the purpose? Well, why does the fish want to be in the water? He feels, well, I have to be in the water because it's my duty to be in the water. Because my parents told me I have to be in the water. Because if I'm not in the water, I'll be committing a sin. Is that why the fish wants to be in the water? Is that why? No. Because he's only alive when he's in the water. He's dead when he's on the beach. You understand? He is simply a dead man. So it really goes beyond even duty. It's really a matter of life and death. Do you want to be dead? Or do you want to be alive? What do you want? You want to be dead? If we kill you right now, will you agree? You see? Nobody wants to be dead. So do you want to be dead or do you want to be alive? That's what it really boils down to. Not that, well, I'm supposed to do this because, you know, it taught me I have to do this and therefore I have to do. No. You could have been taught wrong also. Just because somebody said this is your duty, you have to do that. They could be misguiding you. They could be a Shukracharya misguiding you. You see? One actually has to do that which gives one life. You may say, but I feel pretty alive, you know, enjoying my senses, going to the bars, going to the nightclubs, the cinemas, the brothels. I feel really alive doing that. That's true, they do feel alive. What does Gita say? Ya nisha sarabhutanam tashang jagarti samyami yasham jagarti bhutani sadnisha pashutomuni. You know that slow? What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is what? Night for the introspective sage. They get energy from demoniac activities. They become enlivened. That's when they wake up. Gita says that's when they wake up. When they engage in pop, then they become enlivened. That's when they wake up. So why we don't follow that marg? Bhoga marg. Why were you on bhakti marg and not bhoga marg? Do you know why we are on bhakti marg and not bhoga marg? Because that happiness is temporary. And because it's temporary, therefore it is illusory. Why? Why do we say that it's illusory because it's temporary? Because temporality is itself misery. You understand? I say, I'm going to give you a nice apartment on the 20th floor of this building. Now you can enjoy life. But after X amount of minutes, we're not going to tell you how many minutes, the building will collapse. And you'll be killed in the collapse of this building. But enjoy life. In the meantime, enjoy your life on the 20th floor of this wonderful apartment building, with an indoor swimming pool, central air conditioning, a 20-foot video screen. Enjoy life. But any minute that building will collapse and the whole thing will be... So can you enjoy that temporary happiness? Will you be happy in your indoor swimming pool watching the 20-foot video screen? Knowing that in any second this thing is going to collapse. Therefore, temporary happiness is not happiness. Try to understand this point. Temporary happiness is not happiness. It is suffering condition. You see, that's available. You understand this point? Why temporary? Can't you see it's temporary? Can't you see that it's temporary? In spite of 300 years of the advancement of modern science, what is the death rate? What is the current death rate? Who can say? 100%. In spite of 300 years of the advancement of science, the death rate is still 100%. Albert Einstein, the greatest scientist, he could not stop his death. Do you understand this point? Dushparena lena cha. The senses are never satisfied. They burn like fire, and therefore they go on serving them, even though there's no point in doing it. It's absolutely no point because it's going nowhere. If there's a one-way street going off a cliff, will you go speeding down that road? Thinking, I'm going to enjoy this road, my hot rod, rum, rum, rum. The big thing, and we have as a kid growing up in America, I don't know if they have it here, but back in the 60s, that was the big thing, and you're in high school. If you had a hot rod, remember what a hot rod is? Yeah. It's a souped-up car with a big engine, you know, a special transmission where you can accelerate like anything, and it makes a lot of noise, too. If you had a hot rod car, you would consider it really cool, you know. You can show how great you are in your hot rod car. So, if you have a hot rod car and you're going on a one-way street off the edge of a cliff, what is your position? You're an idiot. You're a stupid fool. So that is what we're living in right now, a whole civilization which is going full speed on a one-way street off the edge of a cliff. That's all it is. They're thinking, but I've really got a hot rod, you know. We got all this high-tech stuff. We got our iPods, now we got our iPads, we got our iPhones, we got iThis and iThat. And now we're really, really enjoying it. It's really great. Now we're the greatest, most advanced people in the history of the whole universe, and now we're really enjoying it. And kawam, death comes. You see? What is the use of your stupid so-called enjoyment? Tell me, what is the use of it? It's simply nonsense. You understand? Therefore, one should intelligently reconnect with his actual self. Vishnupriya Mataji and I, we travel all over the world preaching Krishna consciousness. So one time we were flying from Nandi, that's the airport in Fiji, to Los Angeles. So it was about 11:30 at night, and there was a huge queue. And finally we made it all the way up to the queue to check in. But some gentleman came up. He was obviously some kind of an atheist or skeptic. And he saw me in the robe, you know, with the tilak, and shaved head, and the sikha, and the, you know, the Hare Krishna, you know, uniform. And he thought he'd have a little fun, you know, defeating a theist. He said, "What is your philosophy?" I knew where he was coming from. I could see by the face, you know, the tone of voice. It was obvious he went into put me down and laugh. Ha, 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 ha. You see? So I thought for a minute, and I said, "Our philosophy is this. Know who you are and be who you are." Couldn't say a word. That's actually all we're really saying. We just want you, dear sir, to know who you actually are. And with that knowledge of knowing who you are, now you can be who you are. Because in this material world, you have not been educated who you actually are. Now you're trying to be something that you're not, namely this body. And therefore, you can never be satisfied. You cannot put a square peg in a round hole. You cannot enjoy being this body because you are not that body. But you're trying to enjoy, quote, being this body. I am male, I am female, I am Indian, I am Malaysian, I am this, I am Muslim, I am this, I am that. It's simply nonsense. You understand? It's simply a big, big bundle of nonsense. That's it. You will never be happy trying to be something that you're not. Never. Not in 10 billion lifetimes will you be happy trying to be something that you're not. Even if you're Brahmaji, I guarantee you, you will not be happy as confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text number, anyone know this look? 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mam upachita konteya punar janma navidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, even Brahma loka, you see, where repeated birth and death take place, but one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, what? Punar janma navidyate, he never takes birth again. So why waste your time? Why waste your energy? Why spin your wheels like a stupid hot rider trying to be something that you're not? Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Why try to be a woman? Why try to be a man? Why try to be an Indian? Why try to be a Hindu? That's not who you are. You're none of these things. You're simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's who you actually are. Just try to be who you actually are. This is intelligence, you see. I guarantee you, if you actually just try to be who you are, you'll relish the sweetest taste. Vayasparsheshva saktatman vindat yatmani yat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated soul is not attracted to material sense pleasure. Why? Because he's enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness. Why? Because he concentrates on the Supreme. Instead of concentrating on where can I get my next sense gratification, he concentrates on Krishna, or God, Supreme Person, and his loving relationship with that Supreme Person. You see? It's a servant. If we can learn how to focus on who we really are, not the body, eternal spirit soul, servants of Krishna, and just try to be a devotee, that's all. All you really have to do to be happy is just be a devotee. Remember the fish? Mr. Fish can only be happy if he's thrown back into the water. He can struggle like anything to be happy in the land, but he will not be happy. But if you put that fish back in the water, he'll immediately become happy. You understand? Immediately you become happy. So if you want happiness, all you have to do is get back into the water. How to get in? It's not very difficult. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The more you chant Hare Krishna, you will be back in your natural environment, the Vaikuntha world. The Vaikuntha world, you don't have to wait to die to go to Vaikuntha. You can go to Vaikuntha right now. The doorway to Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha Dwar, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There's really no place like home, you see. There's no place like home. Our home is in the spiritual world with Krishna. And there's no place like that, you see. And all you have to do to get back there is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you chant with love, then immediately you will enter into that spiritual existence. Immediately you will enter into that spiritual existence. You will not find your chanting to be some drudgery that I have to get these rounds finished. Oh, God. Not like that. You will find it is the sweetest nectar. This is a pathway which takes me into Krishna Loka every morning. When I chant my rounds, I go to Krishna Loka every morning and I associate with Krishna every morning. If you take shelter of the holy name with deep concentration and love every morning, then you'll be associating with Krishna all day long. You may say, but come on, this is Klang, this is Kuala Lumpur. How I can be associating with Krishna at Panasonic Corporation? How's that possible? But it is stated directly by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30. Who knows that verse? Yamang pashati sarvatra sravang chamai pashati tashahang na pranashami satchapena pranashati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. If you will take shelter of this Maha Mantra every day with deep meditation, not some mechanical thing, I gotta get my rounds done. No. Deeply meditate on Krishna's holy name. If you go deep enough, you'll see Krishna everywhere the whole day. When you go to Panasonic Corporation, you'll see, this is the energy of Krishna. Krishna is within every square inch of this corporation. This is the energy of Krishna. Krishna is within it. It is within Krishna, etc., etc., etc. The whole Kuala Lumpur is just oozing out of Krishna. It's the energy of Krishna coming out of Krishna. You understand? You won't see Kuala Lumpur. You will see Krishna. You can see, this is the energy of Krishna. So what is the proper utilization of the energy of Krishna? Is it for your enjoyment? No way, Ravana. He thought Sita was for his enjoyment. The energy of Krishna is not meant for your enjoyment. If you think it is, you were simply Ravana, Kamsa. The energy of Krishna, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kang manobar dare vacha ahankara iti ane binaparkate rashtada. That energy of Krishna is meant for one purpose and for one purpose only, to give pleasure to Krishna. That's right. So if you will take that energy, whatever opulence Krishna has given you, whatever power, whatever beauty, whatever renunciation, whatever knowledge, whatever wealth, whatever fame Krishna has given you, and you will use that in the service of Krishna, guess what will happen? You'll be ecstatic. And guess what will happen? Krishna will give you more opulence. I don't know about Indian families, but I grew up in an American Christian family, and we got an allowance every week, spending money. My allowance, I remember, was 5 cents a week, 5 pennies. That was my weekly allowance, 5 cents. So, if the father sees the child is misspending his allowance, what will he do? He'll cut back on it. Right? Now, son, you only get 4 cents a week. I've been seeing you've been abusing your allowance, so now you're only going to get 4 cents a week, son. But what if the son spends the allowance very wisely, you see? Now I will give a double the allowance, you see? So Krishna is like them. If whatever energy he's giving you, use it for your sense gratification, guess what he's going to do? He's going to cut down on your allowance. He's going to cut back on your allowance. But if whatever he gives you, you engage it 100% in his service, he'll give you more, more, more. He can give you the whole world to engage in his service. You understand? Krishna can give you the entire planet Earth to engage in his service. But he wants to see how you're going to spend it, how you're going to utilize it. Are you going to take it for enjoyment? Are you going to take it to serve Krishna? Ananyaschintayantomang yejana pariyapasate tesham nitchivyuktanam yogachemam baham yaham. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 22, for one who worships me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada explains that Krishna delivers to your front door whatever you need, personally gives it to your front door. Like the DHL man, you see, he's your DHL, he becomes your personal DHL man. Whatever you need, he personally delivers to your door. You see. You may say, well, I'm a devotee. Why is that not happening to me? Note the word exclusive devotion. What does exclusive devotion mean? Krishna is a jealous lover. He wants all of your love. He doesn't want to share it with anyone else. He wants 100% of your love. He doesn't want to share it with your wife, with your dog, with anyone, with anything. He wants completely all of your love. You say, what about my poor wife? She'll be neglected. Or my poor husband, he'll be neglected. No. Because when you water the root of the tree, what happens to all the leaves and branches? They get watered, don't they? So therefore, give your all of your love to Krishna, and then you become the perfect husband, perfect wife, perfect son, perfect daughter, perfect mother, perfect father, perfect brother, perfect sister, perfect citizen, perfect employee, perfect boss. Whatever you're doing, if you give all of your love to Krishna, you'll become absolutely perfect in whatever you're doing. Arjuna didn't give up his profession. He engaged it in Krishna's service, and he became number one in his profession. He became the top warrior by offering his profession in Krishna's service. So whatever your profession, you'll become top. Whatever your business, you'll become top. You see, whatever you're doing, if you offer that to Krishna, you'll become super expert in that, whatever it is. You see. So why carry on in an envious way, trying to be a little imitation Krishna, strutting around Kuala Lumpur? Does it make sense? Does it make sense to strut around Malaysia as a little imitation Krishna? What do you gain by doing that? You understand? Just be the humble servant of Krishna. That's all. Just be the humble servant of Krishna. And what position will you get? You will get a position greater than Krishna. You may say, what? How are you going to have a position greater than Krishna? Krishna is the supreme. But no. The devotee of the Lord enjoys more than Krishna. What is the proof? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the proof. When Krishna saw that Radharani, his devotee, is getting more rasa, getting more taste, getting more nectar, getting more juice, getting more bliss, getting more ecstasy by serving him than he is tasting by being served by her, Krishna thought, well, why not me too? I want to get that nectar too. So this beautiful golden-limbed girl, Garangi Radha, I will take her mood and her complexion. So that Krishna, he becomes Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he wants to taste the rasa of being a devotee of Krishna. So actually being a devotee is more ecstatic than being Krishna himself. So don't think you'll miss out on any nectar if you give all of your love to Krishna. You will enjoy more than Krishna if you give all of your love to Krishna. You will enjoy more than the supreme enjoyer. So do you want to enjoy life? Who wants to enjoy life? Do you all want to enjoy life, or do you want to be miserable? What do you want? You want to enjoy? Then you have to just serve the supreme enjoyer, and then you will enjoy greater than the supreme enjoyer. You may say, what is the proof? Raja vidya raja go yang vrittam idam uttamam chakshavagamam yam shushukam katamabhyayam. Everyone has heard of sukham, of happiness, but susukham, that means very, very happy. Extremely happy life. Susukham. So Krishna says, one who engages in bhakti, he tastes susukham. Not just sukham, but susukham. Material happiness is sukham, you see, but spiritual happiness is susukham. Why? Because there's not even a tinge of anxiety, not even a tinge of misery, not even a tinge of anxiety or bewilderment or confusion or stupefaction, any of that kind of stuff. Completely pure, unadulterated nectar. And what do we call that? Krishna consciousness. What is the name of our society? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So what does that mean the members are supposed to be? Krishna conscious. So are we members of ISKCON? I hope so. I hope we are.
Yes.
I hope we're members of ISKCON. If we're true members of ISKCON, that means we are very serious to be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all times, all places, and in all circumstances. We are very serious to always be Krishna conscious. Sometimes people say, well, what kind of devotee are you, Prabhu? Are you full-time or part-time? Ever heard that one? Like, we know, if you're a brahmachari in the temple, then you're full-time, Prabhu. But if you're one of those householders, you know, one of those part-time devotees. I heard some that used to be going around ISKCON. Still does? Is it still going around ISKCON? That I don't know if it still goes around. But it used to be going around ISKCON, I remember. But that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Was Bhaktivinoda part-time Thakura, a part-time devotee because he worked for the British government? That made him a part-time devotee?
No.
Bhaktivinoda Thakura was a part-time devotee, right? Because he had a job? He was part-time? Was Bhaktivinoda a part-time devotee? Or was he full-time? At home he was a devotee and he became a rakshasa and he went to the office. You guys got the point? So if you're actually a devotee, then you're a devotee. 24 hours a day. It's not that, well, I'm finally at the office, now I can smoke some cigarettes, have some alcohol, because devotees aren't around here at the office. Nobody will know that I'm not allowed to do this because I don't tell them I'm a devotee. No, of course not. If you're a devotee, that means you engage in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're in school, whether you're at the doctor's office, in line at the grocery store, in the commute, wherever you may be. And what is your main business? To chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So what do you do when you wake up in the morning? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What do you do in the shower? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What do you do after you put on your tilak? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What do you do on your way to work? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What's going on in your mind all day at work? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What do you do when you get home? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What do you dream about all night? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So what's the point? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What's it called? Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Do we chant Hare Krishna because we are Hare Krishnas? Is that why we chant? Because this is the cult that somehow I got brainwashed into joining, and that's why I chant Hare Krishna? No. We chant this because this is recommended in the most advanced scientific spiritual knowledge in the world as the topmost of all mantras. In the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it is stated that you will not find throughout all, anywhere in the world, you will not find any mantra more powerful, more effective for self-realization in this Kali Yuga than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So that's why we chant. So I can ask now if there's any questions. You can repeat it. Just say it normally and everybody can hear, then he'll tell me what it was. How do you practice in a hostile environment?
How the teenagers can associate, how the teenagers can associate with the same age in the hostile environment?
Well, it depends if the teenager wants to be a devotee or not. I mean, if he doesn't want to be a devotee, what you can do? If he wants to be karmi, what you can do? But if he seriously wants to be a devotee, then the best thing is to be a revolutionary. In other words, don't be a follower, be the leader. I mean, why only the teenagers? We're all in a hostile environment. This material world is a hostile environment. So how do you deal with it? You can either just surrender to it or you can fight it. To be a devotee means to declare war on the material nature. So if you, the way to deal with this hostile environment is to become a spiritual warrior. It's like, that's my life. I've declared war against the material world. I want to close these slaughterhouses. I want to close the abortion clinics. I want to shut down this ridiculous nonsense material civilization, establish Vedic culture on this planet. That's the goal of my life, along with becoming a pure devotee, you see. So the way to deal with a hostile environment is you have to be a strong fighter. Hostile means enemy attack. You're being attacked by an enemy. So you have to become more powerful than the enemy. That's all. So you're dealing with a hostile environment. You have to become more powerful in your hostile environment by good sadhana. By rising early before sunrise, taking shelter of the holy names, and very boldly pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement as the topmost religion. Lord Chaitanya, he was in a hostile environment, wasn't he? The Muslim Qazi said, if you do this kirtan, I will force you to become Muslims. I will contaminate you all by throwing water on you. You'll all have to become Muslims. They were all scared. Oh no, Qazi's going to force us to become Muslims now. Our Hindu culture will be finished. We'll be contaminated. We'll have to join the Muslims. What was Lord Chaitanya's response? Harinam Sankirtan. 100,000 people joined him. And can you imagine 100,000 people marching in the house of the Qazi? He was so scared he hid under his bed. And a little help from Lord Nrisimhadev, who appeared to him in a dream and threatened him by scratching him on the chest, he decided it was better to join Lord Chaitanya's movement, which he did. So we have to be like Lord Chaitanya, not afraid of the hostile environment. We have to think, how can we make a revolution in this country to make everyone devotees in this country? Lord Chaitanya converted the Muslims. We should be bold. We should show them we have the superior culture by our example. So they will want to follow us. They have a low class culture, very low class. There's no happiness in their low class culture. A little pride is there, that's all. But we have genuine happiness in this Vaishnava culture. So we should show them by our demeanor, by our attitude, by our style of existing in this human form of life, that there's no greater happiness than Krishna consciousness. You don't have to cram it down their throat. Just show them by your own demeanor that I'm living on a higher plane of consciousness than you, my dear friend. You don't have to tell them, you show them that I'm tasting millions and billions of times more happiness than you are by being Krishna conscious. You can't legislate Krishna consciousness. You have to emanate Krishna consciousness. So if these teenagers will be taught how to become pure devotees, that means you have to be a pure devotee. Teach them how to be a pure devotee. One pure devotee can revolutionize the whole universe. What to speak of one little tiny country, Malaysia. A pure devotee, he can revolutionize the entire universe. So, the best way to deal with hostility is to be energized by it. Instead of being bewildered by it, be energized. Like a kshatriya, you see, when he is attacked, he becomes enthused. Actually, the hostilities of this material world are a great blessing, because in the spiritual world there's no hostility. Everybody's Krishna conscious. Actually, to fight for Krishna is a... When Krishna wants to fight, he comes to this material world, because in the spiritual world nobody will fight with Krishna. So, fighting for Krishna is a very special flavor. Sometimes I think it's better not to go back to Godhead. It's better to stay here and fight for Prabhupada. Because it's such a sweet rasa, you know, to be a spiritual revolutionary for Prabhupada, you know. Actually, that's why I joined the movement. I was a 23-year-old kid. I joined the movement to save the world. And I still think like that. I still think I'm a 20-year-old. I still feel like that 20-year-old kid who joined the Hare Krishna to save the world. You see? I'm still thinking if we can pull it off. We can pull off a world revolution, you know. Not with guns, but by culture. Attract them to this Vaishnava culture. I'm convinced we can do it. If we can have everybody in every parliament building and every presidential palace throughout the whole world chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You know what the biggest stumbling block we have in accomplishing this world takeover? Is we're not convinced. We ourselves are not convinced. We are still skeptical. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he said, Krishna lives to Govardhan Hill, but you were thinking, maybe. The biggest problem is not the hostility outside. The biggest problem is the hostility called the mind. Every one of us is stuck in the hostile atmosphere called the mind. If you can conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. There's a Hindi saying like that. If you can conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. Even for material cause, look what Gandhiji did. For some material cause. So we should become more dedicated, more determined than Gandhiji. For driving Kali out of this universe. He wanted to get the British out of India. We want to get Kali's influence off of this planet. Kali, get off of this planet. Hey now, Mr. Kali, get off of this planet right now. We want Vaishnava culture on this planet, Mr. Kali. Get out of here, Mr. Kali. This is our move, you see. Hostility is represented as Kali. So, okay, Mr. Kali, get the hell out of here right now. That's our move, you see. Get lost, Mr. Kali. We don't want you. You're not welcome here. Unless you're willing to shave up and become Bhakta Kali. You're not welcome here, Kali. You're not welcome. You're not welcome here. That's how we deal with hostility. We conquer the hostility by preaching. Prabhupada said, you should go village to village, town to town, and make Digvijaya. You know, Digvijaya means conquering pandit. One who can conquer in all directions. He's called Digvijay Pandit. Prabhupada said, now you should go village to village, city to city, town to town, and make Digvijaya, that there is God. I can prove that there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. That is Digvijaya. So we should meet that hostility head on and challenge and defeat it. That's what we should do. Digvijay Pandit Ki Jai. Prabhupada ordered us to become Digvijay Pandits who can defeat all opposing philosophies. This is the difference between the Uttama Adhikari and the Madhyam Adhikari. The Madhyam Adhikari, he has full faith in the scriptures, but he's not very expert in logical arguments. You see? But the Uttama Adhikari, he has full faith in scripture and he's very, very expert in logical arguments that defeat all opposing arguments. He's like a philosophical bulldozer. He can run over everybody in all directions. Nobody can defeat him. He's undefeatable. That's the Uttama Adhikari. Prabhupada was like that. And he wants us to become like that also. Any other questions? How to overcome birth, death, old age, and disease. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Isn't disease horrible? It's so painful. Sometimes when you're diseased, when one becomes very diseased, it's such, It's so disturbing. You think, well, I just wish I could die immediately. It becomes so disturbing sometimes, you know, to be diseased. It's so psychologically painful to be diseased. But actually, if we just chant with love, Krishna's name, then we'll be elevated beyond the realm of birth, death, old age, and disease. You see, it's just like you go to the airport and it's a horrible, nasty, gray, ugly day, okay? Horrible day, depressing, ugly, gray, rainy, dull, dreary day, okay? You get on that airplane and all of a sudden it's a beautiful sunny day. You see? So we have our airplane. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. So we're inviting everyone to fly the friendly skies of Hare Krishna. Fly Hare Krishna Airlines. It will get you there on time. Take off today on the Maha Mantra. Prabhupada is the captain. The devotees are the flight attendants. And we'll give you a ticket simply for the price of faith. A reserved seat on the Vaikuntha airplane, back to home, back to Godhead. Simply, if you're willing to put faith in the name, you'll be given a reserved seat on the Mantra Vimana, the mantra airplane that will take you out of this material existence. Okay, next question. Yes. Everyone is acting day to day
as servants. But still they think they are, and they feel like they are the masters.
They feel like they are masters.
So why is that?
Because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Master, we sometimes foolishly think that we are the master. Generally, the living entity does not think they're the master. Generally, the living entities do not think they're the master. But sometimes they become deluded in thinking they're the master, and then they enter this material existence. You see? That is an artificial position. Here, they are thinking, I am the master. You see, I am Lord Aham Bhogi. I am the enjoyer. I am the Lord of all I survey. I am God. It's like, what was his name? Venu, Maharaj Venu. He told the Brahmins, stop this worship of Vishnu. You Brahmins do not know I am God. So we are all like little Venus, Maharaj Venu, thinking as, you may say, well, I don't think that I am God, but wait a minute. We all think that we're the center of the universe, that everything is centered, everything is centered around us. Everybody acts like them. I'm the center of the universe. Everything that revolves around me. If something pleases me, it's good. If it doesn't please me, it's no good. Everybody thinks that way. That's our material disease. That's a fact. But my question is, does that philosophy work? Does it make you happy? The answer is no, it doesn't. We've been trying to pull off being God for millions and billions of lifetimes, as Brahma, as Indra, all the way down to Indra Gopa. It's better to put that kartals down and just hear. You can play with the kartals after the class. But now it's better to sit and hear. Tapasa brahmacharina. You focus on hearing, you'll get more nectar. You want to be happy, right? You want happiness, right? Okay. If you will focus on Bhagavad Gita, you'll get millions of times more happiness than playing with the kartals during the lecture. I guarantee you. You're not going to miss out. I'm just trying to give you more nectar. That's it. I know you want nectar. So I'm telling you how you can get unlimited oceans of nectar at every second. Those playing with the kartals won't do that for you. Unless it's in a kirtan, that's another thing. But I'm telling you, I'm training you so you can get unlimited nectar at every minute. unlimited oceans of nectar in every word of Bhagavatam Katha that enters your ear. You understand? Okay, any other questions?
Okay.
Yeah.
You said we have fallen from the spiritual world time immemorial. Since in the spiritual world there's no influence of material nature, how the spirit soul, which is so pure, not influenced by material nature, can fall?
How did the spiritual world, how the, there was, there's, the question is, if there's no influence of the material nature in the spiritual world, how you could fall? Actually, the quality of independence does exist in the spiritual world. Because Krishna is supremely independent, therefore the living entities, being part and partial of Him, also possess independence to a minute degree. Not absolute independence as Krishna has, but a minute degree of independence. And since they have that independence, there has to be the possibility they can misuse it, otherwise they don't really have it. You understand? And if there's a possibility, even though you may say it's, you know, practically impossible they would misuse it, there has to be some degree of possibility that they can misuse it, otherwise they don't really have the independence. So if, as long as there is a possibility of it being misused, even if it's an infinitesimal possibility. Have you ever studied mathematics? Mathematics? What's 1 over infinity times infinity? What is it equal? What is the smallest, most infinitesimal? Who, any mathematicians here majored in math? I made straight A's in math. I didn't major in it, I made straight A's in math. If you take 1 over infinity, you see, you take the smallest, most infinitesimal fraction of infinity, what does it equal? Infinity. You see? So, even the most slight, insignificant, infinitesimal fraction, there has to be some degree of some potential of misusing that independence. You see? Otherwise, you don't have it. And if you take that that even infinitesimal potential, and you apply it against an infinite number of living entities, then you have actually an infinite number of living entities who will misuse their independence. It's pure mathematics, pure mathematical understanding. So welcome to the material world. You're one of those infinitesimal number of the infinite number of living entities who misuse their independence. So your being here proves that the jivas do indeed have independence. Your being here proves that. Now you can prove that you can prove it again by going back to Godhead. You prove that you're not a slave of this material nature. You understand? Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Oh, that depends on the individual. Different ages or different health conditions. Someone is very sickly, they may require more sleep. The Prabhupada set a standard of 6 hours as being the proper standard. And he also mentioned 7 hours. And one time he even mentioned 8 hours. But the actual standard is 6. Now some devotees can get by on 5, you know, or even less. Depends. But Prabhupada did say, no sleeping and no eating, that is the perfection of spiritual life. So the more you can give it up, not artificially, the more you can give it up, that's very good. But don't give it up artificially, thinking, now I will show what an advanced devotee I am, I'll stop eating and sleeping, you'll head for a fall down then. Yukta-ha-rivaha-rasha, yukta-teksas-takara-masu, yukta-svapna-vabodasha, yoga-bhavati-dukkha. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6. Krishna says, one who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So you have to do what... You have to judge according to your own needs. It depends on what sort of work you do during the day. You have to judge what's optimum for your Krishna consciousness by your own needs. So, one more question. You had your hand up. Somebody else's hand? There was a hand back there? Somebody was just scratching. So no further questions then? There's the question here.
This is why many natural disasters happening lately, and why many innocent people are dying due to natural disasters.
Why is a lot of disasters happening nowadays? Karma. Because we're becoming more and more sinful, therefore more and more natural disasters are coming. That's why. It's sinful reactions. Karma. It's not by chance. Everything is by action, the laws of action and reaction. Because we're getting more natural disasters, now the whole thing about global warming, the whole thing, like, look what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico now. It's, the whole Gulf of Mexico is being polluted by oil. They haven't stopped it. It's been going on for like 55 days now. Oh, millions of gallons of oil spewing out. Who knows, the whole planet Earth can become polluted the way things are going. It's just, they can't stop it. It's still going on. Latest report is it's still going on. You can go on the internet and watch it. Pretty painful thing. But there's just so many disasters going on. There's murders, there's rapes, there's revolutions, there's, you know, volcanic, that was that Ayyafjallajökull, that volcanic eruption, stranding all the air passengers. I got stranded also when I was in Europe. There's just so many anomalies, so many difficulties happening. These are all symptoms of the age of Kali. You see, economic problem, the economic crisis, all this stuff is, you know, famine, excessive heat, tsunamis, just one thing, you know, AIDS, so many things going on. It's simply due to sin, that's all. Because we're becoming more and more sinful, now we're being punished for our sins. So therefore, if you want to change the world, if you want to make people happy and give them a place they can be happy on this planet, then convince people to stop sinning. Close down the slaughterhouses, stop the abortion clinics, etc. Okay, that's it. We thank you all very much for your so kindly participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly remain ever dedicated throughout your entire life to Srila Prabhupada's mission. And with all of your thoughts, all your words, all your deeds, and all times, places, and circumstances. And if you do so, I absolutely guarantee you, when you leave your body, you will go to sleep and you'll wake up with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Srila Gurudev ki
jai.